If you would, we stop in our study of Acts. We've been looking at how the early church preached, filled with the Spirit. Sure is different than preaching today. I don't want to upset you with that thought, but it's true. We're seeing on the day of Pentecost, filled with the Spirit preachers preaching the Word of God and not messing around with the words of men or poems. So we'd like to pause, since this is communion. I want to thank the ladies for the new candles we have received. I was always spilling wax on the real candle, and they decided to help the old pastor by putting in electric candles where there are no wax spillage. How do you like that? I like it. So anyway, turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Why do we celebrate what we call communion? Actually, the celebration of communion was started by Jesus on the last Passover he celebrated with his disciples during the third cup of wine. The Jewish Passover had four cups of wine. And they would read scripture and praise God for his blessings on the third cup of blessing of God for all that he has done. Jesus announced that the old covenant was finished. Moses and all that it implied was gone. Even though the new covenant somewhat had its foundation on the old covenant Jesus canceled. By the way, John tells us this when we studied John. Law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And when Jesus, with those disciples on that night in which he was betrayed, announced the new covenant, he inaugurated that new covenant through his own shed blood. For without the shedding of blood, there can be no removal of sin. And a marvelous, marvelous change came about from the old covenant to the new. And we are celebrating in communion the new covenant of what Jesus did. Moses is yesterday. Moses is gone. You cannot be a Christian who follows Jesus and be an old covenant Christian, for it was canceled. And there were some marvelous things that happened when Jesus announced the new covenant in his blood that was prophesied long ago in the prophets that would occur. And in Philippians chapter 3, Paul starts giving you the changes, the spiritual, qualitative changes that came about when Jesus inaugurated the new covenant. Some of this which surprises Christians today because they frankly do not know the Word of God. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing again is no trouble to me. It's a safeguard for you." Why do you think I keep repeating the same things? Paul said to write the same things to the church is a safeguard. Why? Because the church doesn't listen. And the only way you're going to get people to learn the Word of God is to keep repeating the Word of God over and over until it sinks in. And so Paul often would teach the same things over and over and over, and some people got it, and some people didn't. But Paul, I don't know if he was the most exciting preacher. For we're going to read in Acts when we get there. Of course, you'll be three presidents down the road by then. But that during one time, Paul preached, and someone was sitting in the window listening, and the room was warm. You know, when a bunch of people get into a room, and he fell asleep and fell out the window because Paul was preaching long and repeating. You'll see it in Acts. And Paul went down and raised the kid up. But that should have been a clue to Paul. Paul, make your preaching as exciting as you can, because they're falling asleep on you. And I always know if someone falls asleep in my sermons that it's my fault. But it happened to Paul also with that going on. You'll find out about that. So he wrote the same things over and over again, a safeguard. Verse 2, beware of the dogs. Guess what non-Christian people called Christians? Dogs. Paul is saying that something radically has changed. He is actually using the words of the enemies of Jesus against them. For people who didn't believe in Messiah called people who did, you bunch of dogs. But the actual opposite is true, Paul said, that those who have not trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior are dogs. How do you like that? Paul was not politically correct. They were using this against Christians. People who had rejected Jesus, who had crucified him, the priests, the Levites, were calling Jewish Christians who accepted the Savior, you bunch of dogs. And Paul said, no, in the new covenant, if you have rejected Messiah, you are what? Dogs. And by the way, we read this morning that those who do not heed the prophet that God said was coming, Jesus, they would be cut off from the people. So the first thing I want you to see is in the new covenant, there's been a switch. Those who now reject Jesus and follow Moses, they better be careful what they say, for Paul says the truth of the new covenant is if you reject Jesus, they are the dogs. And that's why Peter said, remember in Peter, the dog is returned to his own vomit? That's why he said it. Beware of the evil workers. Well, in Paul's eye, who were the evil workers? Well, they were people that went around telling Christians to get under the old covenant. Well, law came through Moses, yes. But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. You see, the evil workers are those that come into a church and then what we would call Judaize the church. There was a whole movement in Paul's day of trying to make the church into good Mosaic followers. Get them circumcised. Get them under the law. An eye for an eye. Jesus canceled that. Those Christians that get back under that system of thinking have been called what we would say they've been Judaized is the technical term for that. That's what happened in Galatians. And Paul said the evil workers now are those who try to make Christians into disciples of Moses. Who should you be a disciple of? Someone greater than Moses came and inaugurated the new covenant. Then he says this, beware of the false circumcision. So what did the Judaizers and everybody try to do? Place the church under the old covenant and become good disciples of Moses. Listen to me. Hebrews makes it very clear that you follow Jesus Christ and Moses is gone. And here the language is very strong by Paul. The false circumcision are those who are physically circumcised. How do you like that? Under Moses, they had to be physically circumcised to show what is true dedication to the Mosaic law and to God's covenant with the nation of Israel. But look what Paul says. I want you to hold your finger there and I want you to go to Romans. Romans chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. 28 and 29. Under the new covenant, Paul is talking in Romans 2, 28 and 29. For he is a Jew for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly. So what would outward Jews look like? Their DNA, their physical qualities. of being from a tribe, of being physically related to Abraham and Sarah. And Paul says in the New Covenant, a true Jew is not one who is outwardly their DNA under the New Covenant. Neither is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. So what was circumcision under the Old Covenant? It was a picture of what God would do in the New Covenant by circumcising our heart. For Mosaic circumcision was merely a picture. Everything in the Old Testament was merely a pop-up book picture of what God would do through Jesus Christ in the New Covenant. Therefore, we're learning something. A true Jew is not one who is DNA, who is not one outwardly physically. A true Jew is one who is inward. He says this, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly. Well, what has happened in the New Covenant? Well, the New Covenant has caused you to be born again, and you are made God's child through the new birth. That is what a true Jew is. A true Jew is one who is inward, not the DNA of the outside. It's when you become a believer in Jesus, you are born again. So, let's then quiz. Who then is a Jew? Believers. They can stand in front of the Wailing Wall all they want. If they are apart from Jesus Christ, they are not truly Jews in God's eyes. This is what Paul taught. A true Jew is circumcised in the heart. How does that happen? By the Spirit. How do you get the Spirit in the new covenant? You trust Jesus Christ and you are born again through the Spirit. At that point, everyone who trusts in Messiah under the new covenant is born again and has a circumcision of the heart. What does that mean? It means you're dedicated to God inwardly, spiritually. A true Jew is one who is spiritually following Jesus as the Jewish Messiah. By the Spirit, not by the letter, and his praise is not from men, but from God. See, under the old system, people always looked at the outward. And if you were outwardly looking like you were a Jew, you were praised by other Jews. Jesus canceled that in the new covenant. The true Jew, look in the mirror. If you've trusted Jesus Christ, you have been born again. You are circumcised in your heart. You are the true people of God. We talked about this last week in Acts. When in Acts, the Holy Spirit came, and what were the two symbols of God's powerful presence with the people of God? What were they? Wind and fire. That was the glory of God and his power and presence returning to the true people of God who had trusted Jesus Christ as Messiah and Savior. That is what it says. So Paul goes on in Philippians. For we are the true circumcision, in verse 3. Who would the we be? Come on, use your brains. Use your context. Who's the we? It's the Philippian believers, and they were mostly retired Gentile soldiers. How do you like that? He says, you are the true circumcision. What's true circumcision then? It isn't the physical circumcision of the Mosaic covenant. It's the spiritual circumcision of accepting Jesus. Preachers don't preach this. They need to. The true people of God are you who have been born again, who worship in the Spirit and glory in the Messiah Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. What did Moses end up doing to people? They put confidence in outward externals. The new covenant, wipe that out. It's inwardly being born again. Jesus said to Nicodemus, 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 you must be what? And if you're born again, you are the true Jew. You are the true person of God, is what the Bible in the New Testament under the new covenant teaches. And this is why the church is in so much trouble, because the Bible is not heeded. and it's ignored. Look what he continues to say. If anyone has mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more, circumcised the eighth day. By the way, every external Mosaic follower, their children were circumcised males on the eighth day. He was from the nation of Israel in the old covenant, chosen of the tribe of Benjamin, of one of those tribes, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Outwardly, he was externally, physically, everything he should have been. And then he was not only that, but he was a Pharisee. You know what that is, really? A religious zealot for the law. As to the zeal, a persecutor of the church, because he wrongly thought that the church was not the true people of God. And what happened was, Paul literally was persecuting the true people of God. We're going to get to Acts 9. And Paul's going to go out to persecute the church, and Jesus is going to stop him on the Damascus Road. And he's going to say this, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" But wait. Jesus wasn't. He had been resurrected, ascended next to the Father. Why would Jesus say to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Because when the church is persecuted, the true people of God are persecuted. And Jesus takes it very personally. You heard about China? I worry for our believers in China. They have new social credit. Have you heard about it? And Google and Facebook and some of the American companies are helping them do it. Programming the Chinese computers. You get on a train in China, it says, "Please be aware of your social credit. If you misbehave, we will subtract from your social credit." And they can actually, based on their behavior, the government has cameras watching, noting everything that these people do. You don't pick, say you have a little dog. You go outside, the cameras are watching now, and if you don't pick up after your little dog, it's noted by the government, they take away your social credit, and they said, "We'll come for your pet if you don't take care of your pet." By the way, the elites have that in mind for everybody. They're using China as a model to get the wrinkles out of that system. Can you imagine a world where we're all subject to social credit? If you speed, if you toss something out your window, and then eventually they can take away things from you and eventually put you in jail. This is the way the world's going. Now, place that. The world hates especially what? Christians. Suppose one day the cameras are out there in our country. May God help us. And they note that you walked into our church. You'd lose social credit. Suppose some of you on Social Security. You can't do that. This is the way it's going to go. They'd start taking away anybody's Social Security that goes to church or that does things. Preachers especially would be in trouble. It's coming unless God in His mercy can raise up a people to stop this. You got to read about, Google it, social credit in China and what's going on. That is the role model for what the elites plan for us. Don't want to scare you, but you better be aware. Paul says here, "I was a persecutor of the church, which was the true people of God, in the law blameless." Wow, under the Mosaic system, Paul was pretty good. Under the old covenant, he was perfect. Look what he says in verse 7. "But those old Mosaic covenant things, whatever things were gained to me, I consider loss for the sake of knowing Jesus Christ, the true Messiah. More than that, I count all things to be loss in value of the surpassing knowing of Jesus Christ, my Lord." There it is in the new covenant. The only thing that matters is this: follow Jesus in love. Law came through Moses. Grace and what? Truth came through Jesus. "And count them all under that old covenant." And he uses the word rubbish in the New American Standard. Do you know what that term is? George knows the Greek term. The Greek term means fecal matter, dung. Ladies and gentlemen, so great is the knowledge of Jesus Christ in the new covenant that Moses and the old stuff, he says all the rest of it is, you ready? Dumb. If you don't know Jesus Christ, all that is dumb. In the old covenant, in comparison to the greatness of God becoming man and became the Savior for our sins, everything of the old is dung. And guess who the true circumcision is and the true people of God? That's what we celebrate in the new covenant. You who follow Jesus are. That's what we're celebrating. So what are you celebrating this morning in this ritual? There are some people that say by doing this, you gain salvation. That's not true. You gain salvation by faith through Jesus Christ and Him alone. It will not give you salvation. So if you think by doing this, you get brownie points with God, you don't get it. The Bible doesn't say that. Church tradition tries to tell you that, and that's from the pits of hell. You're celebrating that you have trusted Jesus Christ, are a part of the new covenant, and you are part of the true people of God that await His return. You proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. And that's what you're celebrating, that you've been born again by the Spirit of God. And it's all because of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we take that little piece of bread that symbolizes His body? The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission. So how did Jesus inaugurate the new covenant? He took the sinner's place upon the cross.